But I do want to talk about treasures this morning. I want to talk about the treasures that are for us, the people of God. You know, we are called to be vessels. They're to be filled with treasures. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. We are vessels to be filled. Just want to look at Isaiah 64 to start out. 64:8. It says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand." We're the clay. He's the potter. He is the craftsman who crafts us with great detail, with love, with kindness. Isaiah, who speaks these words, he understood the great flaws of human nature. In fact, part of this chapter, is he's really crying out for the mercy of God. And he's reminding God, he's like, God, because they're under people under judgment, he's saying, God, this is heavy. This judgment for our sins. And he says, rightly for our sins, our many, many, many sins and iniquities. But it's heavy. And he's reminding God, Lord God, we are the works of your hands. Have mercy. Have mercy. Paul in the New Testament speaks to our frailty as earthen vessels. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says this. He says, "For what we preach is not of ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." Both these passages really identify who we are and who God is, and how important it is to get those things in right order, to get those things in proper perspective. You know, Paul, as he writes to the church, the Corinthian church, he feels the pressure of sharing the gospel message. He feels this pressure. Living in a fallen world and all the persecution that's coming against him, he feels his own frailty. He knows he is but just a vessel like a jar of clay that easily could just be broken, could be dropped and broken. Nothing too special, nothing too wonderful, but frail. And he also speaks to the frailty of all of us, all the believers. And yet, Paul speaks of this knowledge of God's glory, the light shining into our hearts, this glorious light that breaks into the darkness, that breaks into our hearts, and this treasure, this great treasure that fills frail earthen vessels like you, like me. Praise God. Praise God. He's encouraged, Paul is, that though he at times feels very weak, and he admits that, he's openly, he admits that he can be very weak, but he sees the goodness of God, the strength of God, the glory of God working in him. And God is in us. You know, the same God that worked and moved through Apostle Paul and did great things is the same God who is in you, is in me, who dwells with us today. The same God. The God who did miracles upon miracles. Sometimes we don't always equate those things. And we think, well, Paul was a great apostle. He was a great, mighty man of God. So, of course, God filled him with great treasures. But would God fill someone like that, but would God fill someone like me? So often, we do consider ourselves as just plain old clay pots. And that's it. In many ways, we are just plain old clay pots. Plain, simple, unimportant. That's what we think about ourselves so often. But Paul's speaking to the church, and he says, yes, you are jars of clay. You're frail. You are frail. But God can fill you with himself. Great treasures. Wonderful treasures. Hallelujah. We know we all have struggles in life. Every one of us. If we're open, we will admit to our frailty. We will admit to our frailty. And where sometimes life seems to get the best of us and even overwhelms us. We can have struggles. But the Bible says that we also are being renewed day by day in our inward person, our inward man, our inward woman. You are being renewed day by day with God. Hallelujah. We can be wasting away on the outside. But God is renewing us and filling us on the inside. Hallelujah. This renewal is a filling of God in our lives. And something God says we must attend to this in our lives. How important it is. Knowing Him is the most important thing. And He calls us to this. Knowing the grace of God and the power that fills us up as He fills us with Himself. So it's important. So it's important that we see ourselves, that we are vessels who are filled by God. You know, we all have a natural inclination to be filled. Whether we know it or not, sometimes even the desires of our heart are sometimes desires to be filled. Vessels want to be filled. Vessels don't like emptiness, right? Because we're made for a purpose. We're created for a purpose. And we want to be filled with something. How many times did you grow up and you had big ideas about life? You had big ideas about what you're going to do. Big ideas about the dreams and the things that you would fulfill. Some things came to pass. Some things didn't. Right? And sometimes you realize your dreams might have been a little bit too grandiose, or who knows? I mean, if you wanted to be the president of the United States, well, hallelujah. But maybe that wasn't your calling in life. Right? But we do want to be filled. We want to have a purpose. We don't like feeling like there's a void on the inside of us. So it's natural. It's natural to feel any void or emptiness on the inside. But we must address the issue. We all have had to address the issue. What am I filling my life with? What's the source I'm going after? What am I feeling? What am I going after? What do we value in life? What are the things that we consume? Do I seek God first? Is my heart alive to Him? Is my heart open to Him? Am I desiring to be filled by Him? Or do I desire to be filled by other things that are not God? We all have. We can turn to many things other than God. Many things. And we have. We have turned to other things other than God and tried to fill our life with all kinds of things. Relationships. Success, you know, things of the flesh, just on and on and on. We've tried to fill our lives with all kinds of things. And sometimes we've gotten to the end of those journeys and realized that that wasn't as fulfilling as we thought it would be. There's many pursuits in life. Things that will make us look good on the outside. Because sometimes, you know, we just kind of come to that realization that we're ordinary jars of clay. But if we just spruce it up a little bit, right? If we just spruce it up a little bit, and we begin to be too focused on the outside. You know, sometimes we worry too much about the outside, and we don't consider enough of what's going on the inside. Because that's what truly matters. God said, the heart, your inward person, that's what truly matters. What's going on the inside? And sometimes we're too worried about what's going on on the outside. You know, only God can truly fill us with great treasures. Only God. He's the only source that will fill us up and give us joy and peace and love and the goodness and the kindness of God. Only can He truly fulfill us and satisfy us in all things, in all ways. Everything else is oftentimes just temporary. But He is forever eternal. And He designed us for that. That's the thing. He designed us to be vessels that contain Him, that contain the glory of God. I don't know if that ever stops and says, wait a minute. You mean I was made for You, God? I was made to contain Your glory? I was made to contain Your presence? Wow. Wow. That's incredible. And it's a great honor. It's a great privilege. Because sometimes we have to stop and say, Lord, can somebody as ordinary as me, somebody just as common as I am, can You really fill me up with Your glorious presence? Do I really have a God-given purpose that is special, is unique, is wonderful, is designed in heaven? You know, we can feel ordinary. We can feel common. We can feel without any real purpose or great purpose. And sometimes we always look to somebody else, well, that person is. But did God really intend for me to have a purpose in the scheme of His kingdom and everything to be a part of, to be filled by Him? Sometimes we feel like that. Sometimes we feel like nobody really sees me or I don't stand out. Sometimes we think that our vessel is kind of boring, right? We don't think we're all that special. You ever felt that way? What can God do in me? Can God really use me? Can He fill me up with His glorious presence? You know, God, we know this, right? We know theologically. We know that God can use the most common, the most simple, the most plain, the most ordinary. That you don't have to be special. You don't have to have a PhD. You don't have to be with a great platform, right? Theologically, we know that. That God creates each one of us to be filled by Him and to be used as a vessel of His choosing. How is it that God can fill and use someone as plain as me? I don't know if you've ever thought those thoughts. Well, the good news is it's not really about us, right? Takes the pressure off, really. It takes the pressure off. It's not about us, really. It's really all about Him. It's about what He can do in us. That He's the treasure in jars of clay. We may be frail, but He uses us. And He fills us, willing vessels. If we look at the Bible, we see this over and over and over again. Who does God work with to grow His kingdom, to grow His church, to bless other people? You know, leaders of Israel arrested Peter and John as they were preaching the gospel and healing the sick. And in Acts 4:13, we see this encounter as they're interrogating Peter and John. And the leaders, it's all about the leader says, when they, the leaders, saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Who were Peter and John? Now, they were great apostles, men of God who did miracles, preached the gospel, brought many to faith. powerful, powerful men of God. But it says that when they were inspected by the leaders of Israel, when they were inspected, they saw that they were unschooled, ordinary men. Unschooled, ordinary men. Who can God use? You know, sometimes God goes after those who are very common, very plain, very simple, because sometimes it's easier to fill a vessel that's not already full. God used Peter and John in powerful ways. Peter was able to stand boldly and proclaim the gospel even before these leaders who were persecuting them. And they were able to stand boldly before the elite, the educated, the highly spiritual, the ones who people looked up to. And they were able to speak the plain gospel message with boldness, without fear. Because they knew it was not about them. It was all about Him. They were committed to the glory of God and for God to use them. And they knew God had shown that God can use them. They were representing the King of Kings. Now, Scripture tells us that Peter was filled, not with anger or indignation, as they were being taken to task by these leaders. But they were not filled with anger or indignation because they were being treated unjustly. So they could have been, right? They could have been. Peter does not defend himself, but he gives light to the reason why he had been called into account by these leaders. It says, Acts 4, verse 8, it says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who is lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed.'" Who's getting the glory in this account? Who's receiving the glory? Peter is giving the glory all to God. He knows he's a vessel for God's glory. He knows. He has no doubt. So God dealt with his pride. We talked about that last week, how God dealt with the pride of Peter. And Peter had to get out of the way. It's kind of funny. Peter's there. He's the vessel, but he had to get out of the way because it was not about Peter. It was always about God. And it says very clearly, it says Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. How is he able to do these things? How is he able to boldly stand before those who are persecuting him in the church? Except that he is filled with the Holy Spirit and has this Holy Spirit boldness that's upon him. But remember, he's ordinary. He's common. There's nothing special about Peter, except that he's a surrendered vessel in the hands of God, filled with the presence of God. Praise God for what God can do. So we're kind of like vessels, clay pots. They're nothing special, nothing wonderful. But the thing is we hold something of incredible worth, incredible value. It changes who we are. It changes what we're about. And we, like Peter, are to be compelled by God's Spirit to testify about the one who is salvation, is redemption, is King of Kings, is Lord of Lords, to testify this treasure that we carry within. Hallelujah. You know, Peter and the disciples, how did they come to this place? We go back to verse 13. It says very simply, back to that Acts 4:13. So go back one more if we can. Yeah. It says, what they noticed about these men, that these men had been with Jesus. How did they come to this place of being filled with the glorious presence of God? These men spent time with Jesus. They walked with Him. They talked with Him. They knew Him. They had this, and now they received the Holy Spirit. They've received the Holy Spirit. God dwells with them. They know Jesus and have been filled. See, this is the example to us. We're to be a people who walk with Jesus. Walk with Him. Know Him every day. Speak with Him every day. Have fellowship with Him every day. Know Him. As we're doing this, we're being filled. We're being filled. You know, one problem that we can see in life is sometimes if we're too busy to walk with Jesus, to spend time with Him, probably because we're filled with so many other things that we don't have room for Him. And if we're filling our lives with so many other things that we're too busy to really give God the time in our lives, we need to take account and say, wait a minute, why am I too busy to spend time with the King of Kings? This is the place of walking and knowing Him and being filled, to have those quiet places, those places of rest, those places of stillness before Him, to be filled with His presence. People who spend time with Jesus get filled. Get filled. Well, we have to value God's presence, right? It has to be one of our core values. Because we know that spending time, it's not just religious duty, right? It's not just going to church. It's not just, you know, doing religious duty, because that's really not that place. It's the place of spending time with Him. The place of knowing, valuing God's presence in such a way that we take time, that we make room. And we learn it's not all about us. 1 Peter 2:9 talks about our identity and who we're called to be. It says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. We belong to Him. We belong to Him. So it is, being His vessels is a place of surrender. And surrendered vessels get filled. Absolutely. And we're filled for a purpose. We're called for a purpose. We're called to declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness, who called us out of darkness into His wonderful light, to shed this gospel, to share this gospel with the world, to say, you too can know this Jesus. You too can be earthen vessels filled with the presence of our glorious God. So we share this with the world. You know, sometimes we can lose focus about what it's all about, that it is about the glorious God who broke through, who's shedding His light into all the world, who broke through in our own hearts to shed His light and to fill us. But sometimes we lose focus. Sometimes we make it too much about ourselves. Sometimes we spend too much time comparing ourselves with others in life. We can be like the one clay pot that looks at another clay pot and we become jealous because that clay pot has handles and we don't have handles. Sometimes one clay pot can look at another clay pot and say, God, that clay pot has artwork on it. It looked like somebody embossed that with silver. I don't have any of that, God. What's wrong with me? Do you not love me? Do you just love that pot more? Sometimes we spend too much time comparing ourselves with others and wondering, why, God, didn't you make me like that over there? It seems like they have a better life. seems like they have more outward adornment. Lord, I'd like to have some more outward adornment. Would you give me some more bling? And sometimes we worry too much about the outside, and we're not considering the treasure that's on the inside. What we value is very important. And a lot of times in this life, we get in the rat race, we come to value too much the things of this life and this world and the things that we can have, and we hold on to very temporarily. And we get lost in the wrong kind of thinking. And maybe today we just need to remember about the treasure, the true treasure, that God wants to fill us up with. Sometimes we fall into this false idea that we have to be extraordinary, or that we have to do extraordinary things to be vessels that God would want to fill, right? Because God, I'm too ordinary. Would you really want to fill me? I mean, we need to be someone like maybe a great apostle, or maybe like a televangelist, or maybe like a missionary who travels the world. You know, those people God wants to fill because they're doing great things for God, great things. Sometimes we feel like we have to have a platform in order to be filled by God. But what about a simple vessel? A simple vessel like me. You know, we may not seem to be big in our own eyes or in the eyes of others, but all of us have this privilege to carry this treasure within us, this treasure from God within us. So the bigger question is not about who we are, but who He is. It's always the bigger question, not who we are, but who He is. Do you want to be filled? Do you want to overflow with His presence? Will you share this treasure with others around you? You know, probably Rosa Parks never probably thought of herself as some big, mighty Christian woman. She was actually a pretty simple person. But she sat down on a bus one day, and she decided, God, you can use me. She did something very simple, but as a committed woman to God, and she was a committed woman to God, and she was getting filled, not on great platforms, she was getting filled in her home, in her church, spending time with Jesus, walking with Jesus. And in her walk with Jesus, it led her to say, enough. I can sit right here. Oh, it would get her in trouble. You know, living for Jesus will get you in trouble, right? It will. It should. I hope you get in trouble. Go get in trouble, okay? Church, go get in trouble today. Share Jesus. If you end up in jail, don't worry. There's a bond. We'll help post bond. Actually, Rosa Parks did end up in jail. She did, but she counted all worth it to live and proclaim and let God be glorified, because she was serving a purpose. God was using her, but she was filled for a purpose. Or it was the man on a plane. We heard this story. I love this story that we shared, because we know this lady who shared about how this man who was sitting down in a plane near them or right beside them, in the conversation that they were having, God spoke to this man who's a Christian and really felt he had a word for this lady who we know. And so this is how we know the story. And he just simply shared these words. Let me get the words I want to share. He said, ma'am, I really feel like God wants me to tell you that the nurse did all she possibly could do. That was it. He didn't try to preach a message. He didn't try to preach a sermon. He wasn't a preacher, but he was a believer who was filled with God, and God was prompting him in on the inside to give this lady a word of knowledge, not being sure really what it all meant to her, but what did it mean to her? Well, this woman had recently lost her husband. He had passed away. And it was overnight in a hospital, and she had said goodnight that night to him. But she was wondering, you know, he'd been in the hospital for weeks and was not in good health. And she wondered, should I stay? But she went home, not knowing that he would not make it through the night. Oh, she blamed herself. And she even blamed the nurse because she kind of felt like, I could have done more. And you know what? The nurse could have done more. And she was tormented by thoughts, and she lied, didn't have any peace over that because she felt like something could have been done. My husband could have been saved. But when she heard those words from the stranger who was just simply sharing the Spirit of God, what the Spirit of God was telling him, it gave her peace because she knew God was speaking directly to her in the situation, saying nothing else could have been done. And she had peace from that point on. And the tormenting thoughts stopped. That man did not know what he was doing, being filled with the presence of God, just sharing the Word of God. And that simple sharing blessed this lady. You know, we don't have to be on a platform preaching to thousands. You know, some people are called to that. Some people are called to nations. They're called, they're anointed for, yes, they have a calling and a gifting to preach to nations. But then some of us are called to just simply share the gospel with our neighbor. With one person on a plane. To love as Jesus would love. To do as Jesus would do. To give. But you can't do that unless you're filled. Because if you do it out of your flesh, oh yeah, there won't be the anointing. There won't be anything of God on it. Because if we try to do things out of the flesh, it doesn't bring the glory of God. But if we'll just be vessels. There was one Sunday school teacher many years ago who worked with youth group, right? The glorious honor of working with a youth group. How many of us would sign up for that this morning? Got some energy? Ready to run? Run with the youth, absolutely. One Sunday school teacher, he was working with youth group. He was doing small groups, especially with young teenagers. And he saw this boy coming to church who wasn't really much interested in Jesus, but he had visited and felt called to go pursue this young man. Found out where he worked at a shoe store, showed up at the shoe store to share the gospel with this young man and told him, I felt the Lord put you on my heart. And I want to tell you about the love of God. I want to share with you about this God who loves you more than anything else. He pursued this young man. Not in a weird way, but in a way to share the gospel with him. Well, that 17-year-old young teenage boy accepted the Lord, came to Christ, and became a great evangelist. You might know his name, D.L. Moody. Shared the gospel with millions. It's estimated that 1 million came to faith under his ministry. Oh, he had a great calling. And yes, he was filled. He was a vessel filled with the glory of God, the presence of God. But so was that Sunday school teacher. You see, we can't measure by our calling. We can't measure importance by the adornment of our clay vessel. Whether we have handles or don't have handles, we can't measure that way. We always say the treasure is on the inside. That's what we want. God, give me the treasure. God, give me your presence. Oh, God, I'm hungry for you, Lord. He can use each and every one of us to change lives, to grow his kingdom, to do things that will bring glory to his name. Do you have a desire to bring glory to God's name? That's who he wants to fill. Vessels who want and desire him. See, God needs people. who want to be filled. But they're not seeking the glory, right? They're not seeking to be in the limelight. It's not, look at me, look at me. No, it's look at Him, look at Him. And if my life can point to Him, may I reflect God's glory in my life to honor His name. God needs vessels who don't want the glory, but want to give Him the glory. If we will operate that way, we will see more of God working in our lives. If we'll just stop asking the question, what about me? What about me? If we'll just drop that question and say, Lord, I'm okay with not always knowing the answer to that question. I'm okay with that. But God, can I give you glory? May I be one to give you glory? God needs vessels who will empty themselves of great exploits that will put my name in headlights. God needs vessels who want to give Him glory. God needs vessels who empty ourselves of the world and the things of this world, that our hunger is not for the things of this world, our hunger is for Him. And that we will go and we will find Him and we will spend time with Him. We'll walk with Jesus. God also needs clean vessels. Clean vessels who just get sick of sin in our lives. We get sick of it. We're just tired of it. Lord, it continues to corrupt me on the inside. I don't want to be corrupted. I want to be filled. So we're called to repent. And the good news is God is the God who forgives and cleanses us. We're reminded of 1 John 1:9. Again, we see this verse. It says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Right? It says, if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So we need to be cleansed. And that cleansing is just coming before God with honesty, with our frailty, knowing how weak we are, knowing that we can be given over to temptations. But God wants to set us free, and He wants to cleanse us. And yes, if we've even messed up today, He's ready and waiting to cleanse us and free us from sin. True repentance is of the heart. You know, we turn to God, forsaking our old life and saying, Lord God, my life is now Yours. Use it for Your glory. Fill me, Lord. You know, that's what David, we talked about this last week, when David was in repentance in Psalm 51, he cried out, Lord, forgive me. Do not forsake me. Do not take Your Holy Spirit from me. The Holy Spirit was precious to David. It was so precious. He grieved the Holy Spirit with his sin. He grieved God with his sin. And he brought himself before the Lord and said, forgive me, O God. But God, don't take Your presence from me. That's the most precious thing. That's the most precious thing. I don't want to live life without Your Spirit. I don't want to live life without Your presence. He had that desperation in his heart. And sometimes I just pray, Lord, give us this hunger for You, that we don't want to live apart from knowing You, that nothing else can ever take Your place. And so, Lord, we empty ourselves. That's what we're doing today, to empty ourselves of things that are selfish, prideful, fleshly, and say, Lord God, make me a vessel for Your honor and for Your glory. So we humble ourselves before God, and we become vessels He can fill. And God pours out the riches of heaven into our lives. Ephesians 5, last verse, 15. He says, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your heart. Wouldn't you like to just make music to the Lord in your heart today? The joy of the Lord in you. I'm telling you, when you know the presence of God, God lifts depression. He lifts those gray clouds over your life. And when we get the truth of God, the Word of God in us, it counters the lies that sometimes we hear about. You know, sometimes we hear lies about ourselves. We are valuable to God. And He says, be filled. And the verb there is continuous, actually. Be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. So today, there's more. Today, be filled. But today, be filled with His presence, His goodness, His grace, His mercy. Be filled with the treasures of God. And value them so much that you won't put anything else. You won't let anything else take the place that God has in your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Earthen vessels holding great, precious treasures. Hallelujah.